Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glamis and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We're talking to Hester McDonald this morning. She joins me in the studio. We're talking about indoor, outdoor plants. Hester, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, what on earth is an indoor, outdoor plant? Aren't they one or the other?
That's a good question. So, lots of plants that we grow from where they come from. And if you can replicate that climate now, say, then they'd be much happier outside.
So it's like plants come from nature, actually, even though we've just grabbed them inside and
exactly.
put them in a pot.
Exactly.
Why would you want to move a plant? We talked about how plants don't really like to be moved.
Yeah.
So is this not asking for trouble?
Yes, you're right, to some degree. However, if you do it gradually, kind of sneakily, then they don't mind so much. So if you've got something that's been indoors for months and months and months, don't just stick it in full sun and expect it to thrive. Or indeed, put it out too early when it's still cold overnight. Put it out for a couple of hours a day in a warm but shady spot and then kind of expand that period. And it's known as hardening off. So basically, you just get it more used to being outside. And then you can leave it outside in a comfortable spot where it's happy for the whole summer till kind of September time.
You're hardening it right up.
Yes.
What are the benefits of moving the plants?
There's loads. So for the plant, better light levels, less risk of pest infestations because you get much better air movement around it, less likely to get other diseases like fungal problems and things like that. More space for you indoors because you're not cluttered up with plants. So you get that kind of nice airy feeling indoors as well. And also you get to decorate your outdoor space with loads of really fabulous plants.
So which ones are easiest to move? Which are these plants that, like, typical house plants can I make into these indoor outdoor
so
movable
go
plants?
For anything easy ones to move outside. So anything like a snake plant, a dracaena, they're really happy outside. They come from desert situations. They're also super tolerant of most things, forgotten waterings, accidental knockings over. They're really very easy plants. I would say water weekly and give them a feed maybe once a month. They're really very undemanded. They don't need a lot. I'd also think about, so we often talk about geraniums for outside. What we're really talking about are pelargoniums, known familiarly as pellies, which are very sweet. Think red flowers, white flowers, pink tumbling flowers off the edges of your beautiful balconies. That's what we're talking about. And of course, they overwinter indoors, so they should really all be outside by now. Usually go outside at the start of May, but you might have put them out later. Get them outside now if they're not already out. Feed monthly, water whenever the soil's dry. Might be more frequent if they're in a smaller container or in a hanging basket, say. I'd also look at things like citrus. They should absolutely all be outside by now. They're much, much happier. Obviously, they grow outdoors where they come from year round. It's only here where it gets too cold where they've got to be hooked indoors or into a cool garage that they really need to go out. And things like succulents and cacti, if you've got any outdoor space, they will be much, much happier outside for the summer.
Any to avoid, or plants that are sort of super tricky moving in and out?
So African violets, as I've discovered, tend to really, really hate being moved at all and will just drop all their flowers and possibly their leaves.
She speaks from personal experience.
Yeah, and I've also discovered that moth orchids, Phalaenopsis, those beautiful white flowered ones, can get sunburned really easily, even if you think it's a shady spot, that it might not be shady enough.
Tough to factor 50 up your plant, isn't it?
It is. However, I've put mine in a tree. And also you can put bromeliads, anything like that. Tie them up in some trees and they're much happier because they just get this lovely, lovely shade and they can photosynthesize, those little roots can photosynthesize, us can the leaves, to their heart's content.
And you're keeping them away from any slugs?
Yeah. I have a good friend who put her beloved moth orchids outside and they got eaten by slugs.
Oh,
how upsetting is that?
Oh, no. I mean, it was a question. I'm doing really... Spider plants is another one that we've discussed is quite good at going in and out. And I'm doing really well with spider plants, which is a very easy plant, but they just keep on giving me spider plant babies. I've got so many of them around the house now. And they're doing really well. But I worry if I put them outside, will they get bugs in them and then I will bring the bugs in?
No, they really won't. With this all this extra air circulation. I mean, keep an eye on them and look under the leaves before you go back in again. But they'd be super happy outside. In fact, Fayette. I was in Nyon the other day, and I have taken lots of photographs of somebody's wonderful window box. If it's yours, it looks amazing. That's packed with spider plants. They're all tumbling off the front of a balcony.
Cute.
Look phenomenal.
When should all of these plants go back indoors again?
So usually September, about La Rentrée, school going back to school time, is the perfect time. If we have a really, really warm September, you can probably leave them out to about, I don't know, mid-September, or maybe even up to the equinox, the 21st, I'd say.
You know what's also amazing about this is if you are actually leaving town for any of summer and you put most of your plants outside, it's actually super easy for a neighbour to water them.
That's
for
you. That's a very good point.
Well,
as much as no keys, no nothing, they can just squirt.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That'd be brilliant.
They're in the garden. There you go. Yeah. Thanks. If you just pop over with a watering can, much appreciated. Talking of watering cans, we do have a prize from Shilliger Garden Centre this morning. It's a very beautiful watering can. In fact, I would say stylish.
It is. It's really rather elegant.
It's black with a bronze handle. It's beautiful. Shilliger Garden Centre have put it aside for us for a prize to give away today. Stay tuned. I'll tell you how you can get into that draw. And if you've got any questions, there's quite a few of you have. We've got a few to get through. Send them in studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates.
This month on Dig It, we've got a great prize that Shilliger Garden Centre have given us, a lovely watering can. It is honestly the most stylish watering can that you have ever seen. I picked it myself out of a selection of watering cans that we could have had. So it's black, it's got a cool bronze handle. And also, if you're heading over there to pick it up, Shilliger are also offering a voucher, a kind of tea for two voucher. It's valid for tea or coffee in their lovely cafe. Hester and I have popped over there for a coffee or two.
We have had a very lovely time.
Just before or after you go and check out the other plants, of course. So we're going to ask you this question. We're talking about indoor-outdoor plants today and the benefits of plants going outside. So here's my question. What do you like to go outside to do? What takes you outside, outside the house, outside the office? What will get you getting outside? That's what you need to do to get into the draw today, is just tell me what gets you up and outside so that you are in the sunshine. Send it in 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS, or you can actually send us an email, studio@worldradio.ch. That question over to you, Hester. What gets you up and outside?
The garden, obviously, my dog, and the lake.
Yes, all of those things, spot on. All right, keep them coming in. I'll go for very similar things. Paddle boarding, big time. That gets me up and out. If I am thinking I don't know what to do, and I'll just, if the weather's good, paddle boarding.
Yeah,
done.
That's a good option.
Yeah. So let's crack on. Let's ask if you've never grown any indoor plants outside before, if you've never taken your plants that you keep in pots in your home outside, what are good ones to start with so that you can practice? Like, which ones are going to be the hardiest?
I would start with pelargoniums. So this is what we would often call geraniums. So there's
right?
a difference between hardy geraniums and not hardy. Hardy means that they can survive with frost. Not hardy means, or tender means, they really can't. They're actually different things. So geraniums are ones we plant in the ground and they live outdoors all the time. But pelargoniums are the ones that need to be protected in the winter. But they're very commonly called geraniums. So we can call them both.
Okay.
And still be right. So the thing I like about them, there's such an enormous variety. So you have the ones with the kind of the red splodges on the leaves, called zonal pelargoniums, because parts of the zone of the leaf are a different colour. There are hanging ones you can get. And there's so many different things. Loads of different colours. Everything, all the colours, pretty much all through all the hot shades. And the leaves smell amazing. Now, there's lots of ones, particularly that are grown for the smell of the leaves. And if you go to the Geneva Botanic Garden, actually, there's a collection by one of the glass houses, the top hot glass house. There's a collection outside, and you can just rub the leaves and just be amazed. There's mint, there's apple, there's Coca-Cola, there is the lemon and lime as well, and orange. The orange ones are really quite strong. Rose one is amazing. There's loads. It's really fabulous. And so they're very nice to put by a seating area if you're outside.
For the sniffing?
For the sniffing and accidentally, you know, brushing against, and the fragrance gets released. They are absolutely gorgeous. And they're honestly really easy.
It sounds as well like there are a lot of hanging baskets that would be good to move indoor, outdoor, because just easily transportable.
Absolutely. And the only thing with hanging baskets, you just have to keep an eye on the watering. That's all.
So what else? What else could we do?
I would think about fuchsias.
Again,
so they like
hanging.
A shady spot. Yeah, they can hang, they can dangle. You can even have standard ones, amazingly as well. They've been grown on a long, thin stem with a kind of a ball bobble at the top. There are so many different varieties. So that within the tender ones that have got to go back indoors again, there's some beautiful pinks, whites, reds. I particularly like Shadow Dance, which is a white and red one, and I love Annabelle, which is a really sort of dangly hanging one, which is a pinky white. It's absolutely beautiful. And of course you could have a hardy one if you're feeling particularly exciting. There's loads of hardy fuchsias that you can leave outside in a fairly sheltered spot. I mean, I don't think at 1300 meters it would be a great idea, but otherwise they do really well.
I like that because you can't really mess up the timing of it too well. If you forget it and you leave it a little bit late, fair enough, it might like to be brought inside, it might do well if you bring it inside, but if you leave it out a little bit longer than September, then
it'll be fine. How about a snake plant?
Those are supposed to be really hardy. They're next on my list. That's the plant I would like to get next. It had been Monstera for a long time, and then about 9 months ago I bought myself a big Monstera plant. Happy with that. So now my next on the list
is a big one.
Chunky snake plant.
Yeah, they're lovely. I think they're really fabulous. There's Dracaena trifasciata, which are known as mother-in-law's tongues, which are very kind of solid, rigid ones. I have a Dracaena right here, a little Dracaena right here, which is called Lemon Line, which I got from Schilliger.
Yeah.
About 4 years ago, 3 years ago, as a teeny, teeny, tiny plant the size of my thumb. And now it is, I don't know, 30 centimetres tall on these beautiful stripy leaves. Now, this lives indoors in my house in the winter.
Right.
And it's got these lovely kind of pale green with white and dark green and mid-green stripes on it. It's really very pretty. As it gets better light levels outdoors, the kind of really limey colour starts to come out. And it's a really, really easy plant. It's going to stay on my terrace all summer in a sort of semi-shade spot, and it mixes really, really well with lots and lots of other things, and they're all together in a container.
Can't believe you bought that at such a tiny size, because right now it's sort of all over this radio desk. It's kind of
pretty much
over the front of my computer screen. It's over the mixer.
Yeah.
It's really good. I see that we've got a few little brown leaves on the end, though.
What do
you do with those?
I just snip them off.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I just snip off, and that was my fault that it got a few cold drafts this winter. I left it too close to the front door.
All right. Any others in terms of like succulents?
Super easy. I love Haworthias. They're those stripy cactuses.
Sorry, what?
Haworthias. Like Haworth, like the house.
Okay.
And Haworthias. Very easy. They're known as zebra cactuses. They're also called cushion aloes or pearl aloes. They're very free draining. But I've got a really beautiful, this is an Echeveria here, which I bought about 6 weeks ago for 4 francs from a plant fest. I don't actually know its real name, but it's an Echeveria. It is packed, and I put it outside about a week ago, and it's flowering.
Is that one plant? It looks like two plants. I'm going to describe
about a million plants.
I'm going to describe what I see because this is radio. So there's a lot of very tiny little sort of cactus plants that look like the miniature
clumps.
Cabbages.
Yeah, they do look like miniature hairy cabbages. Actually.
Tiny, tiny hairy cabbages, and then we've got huge spindly bits that are popping out the top of it with flowers on the top.
Yeah.
It looks like a giant kind of rosemary sprig that then has a
good
flower on top. Thank you. But wait, is that one kind of plant? You say it's a million plants, but
it's all the same plant.
It's the same
plant. And when it finishes flowering, I'm actually going to tip the whole lot out, split them all up, and I'll have probably 20 plants.
Yeah.
I think I did very well for my 4 francs, don't you?
I think you've done very well.
Very happy with that.
I look forward to receiving a donation of a little baby. That's obviously going to propagate itself quite nicely.
But they're all super easy. And once you start to bulk up in their pots, you just tip them out of the pots and pull them apart and put them into more pots, give them to more people.
Going to remind everyone that if they would like to hear the names of these again, we will put this podcast up online later on today, worldradio.ch/digit. If you've missed any of the names, the specific names that Hester is mentioning, then we will put them up. But if you want to win that watering can, simply email studio@worldradio.ch. Tell me what you like to do outside. That's all you need to do. Just, we're talking about the plants that need to get outside. What gets you up and outside? What do you like doing in the sunshine? Keep us posted. studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates.
Hester joins me in the studio. Hester, we've got some questions that have come in from our listeners. Are you ready to tackle a few of them?
Okay.
All right. So I've got a couple of questions on the email. The first one has come in from Stephen, who says, I've got this plant growing with my wild mint, rather. Ooh. Ooh. It has an aromatic smell. I'm going to show you a photo of it. Okay. Hester, what is this plant?
I think it might be rosemary.
It does look a lot like rosemary.
Have a squish of it.
Stick it in your pasta.
Yeah.
Put it on a pork chop.
If you're ever not sure, you can always snip a bit off, put it in a plastic bag and take it to your local garden centre. Somebody like Shilliger will be excellent to help you identify it before you put it in your mouth if you're not sure.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Don't eat it. Don't try and digest any plant. That's a terrible suggestion.
Take it to Shilliger and ask them.
We've got Sonia who said, whenever I move my young, healthy basil plant outside from having grown it from seed, it never seems to grow as well. The leaves go yellow and then brown. It looks awful. What am I doing wrong? Now, I did move it from full sun to go into part shade, thinking that it was getting too much sun, but it didn't change anything. This is Sonia with a basil plant.
Well, I have to say basil's tricky. It is quite difficult.
We've talked about it so much. It's like one of the hardest.
I think it is really difficult. And it's so frustrating because you see it growing and it's in a lot of food. And you think, well, I must be able to do this. I'm fairly green-thumbed. And I find it quite difficult. It grows best in my garden in a section that has just morning sun. And that does seem to help. Afternoon sun tends to burn it and it goes brown and crispy and then turns its little toes up and refuses to do anything else. So I would try doing morning sun only, probably 4 hours max this time of year. Keep it well watered. I know it seems ridiculous that it's grown, it's eaten in Italian food and you assume hot things, a hot situation, hot climate. It's not necessarily the case. Keep it well watered, but also well drained. So that terrible, weird dichotomy of well watered yet well drained. I'd give that a go and keep an eye out for bugs. They love it.
Talking about bugs, we've got a question in from Emma. Emma is looking for some plants to introduce to her garden specifically that will keep bugs away.
So I would, well, let's start with the basics. Let's start with lavender. Now, I know that you don't like lavender, Kat, because you don't like purple.
I don't like the colour.
You don't like
lavender.
The colour. Luckily, there's lots of non-purple lavender.
I like the smell of it, so that's good.
So that would be good. So there's pinks, there's a really pretty white, there's a couple of dark blues that are sufficiently far away from purple to be possibly acceptable.
Thank you so
much. That are very
much.
Nice. Verbena would be really good. Mint's great and very easy. You could try basil, but as we've just discussed, quite challenging. Mm. I would think about a lemon thyme. And that's really nice. It's also nice to put by a seating area because if you're thinking of trying to repel bugs, you're probably going to sit by it. And that's also, I mean, they're all great for eating as well. Maybe nasturtiums. Nasturtiums are really fun. There's great colours, oranges and reds and really bright yellows. And you can get climbing ones, you can get tumbling ones, and you can eat them as well. You can eat the leaves and you can eat the flowers as well. They're really good for that kind of thing. And any of the aromatic pelargoniums, the pellies we were just talking about, there's loads of really good ones. And they are quite repellent in terms of smell.
Right. It's all about the smell, really, isn't it?
I guess. Because the bugs, the idea is just to confuse the bugs, that they don't think, yum, you're delicious. They'll think, oh, how bizarre, it only smells of mint around here.
I thought, though, that we were trying to encourage little bugs into the garden. And
we are
trying to get
but possibly not mosquitoes.
I see. I'll understand that. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a question in from Peter, who said, my mother-in-law gave us a massive Swiss cheese plant. We've kept it alive all winter, but it's not happy now. It's by a big window. Can they get sunburn?
Yeah, they can. They really can.
There you go.
And in fact, almost lots and lots of plants that have probably been super happy up by a window because they've needed those high light levels are now thinking, I'm a bit hot now and I can't keep up. And that's when they get sunburn. You'll actually see patches on their leaves, which is really pity if you have a beautiful Swiss cheese plant. You've been carefully growing it for its beautiful, beautiful leaves and then you get a big brown patch on a leaf. That is very sad. So I would say if it's by its window, move it back from the window so it's still getting bright but indirect light. Or if you can, put it outside. It'll be super happy as long as it's not in direct
sunshine.
In the
sun.
Not in the sun.
We've got a question from Sandrine. My husband was given a big basket of white orchids, multiple white orchids by his boss as a thank you. They're beautiful.
That's a nice present. Yeah.
But I don't know what to do with them once they've finished flowering. Oh, there's nothing sadder than just an orchid.
I know. So I would have a little sneaky look in the basket.
Oh.
So you might find that they're in individual pots, in which case they're super easy to switch out for something else that's flowering because you can still get other things that are still flowering. That's if you want to keep the basket. The basket's very pretty, I should imagine, in itself. You can put other things in it and you can switch your orchids out. It depends whether, do you want to cut off the flowering stems? Now, I have tried lots of different methods. You can theoretically cut the flowering stems above a node on those little bumps on the stems. On the whole,
I don't have a lot of luck with making them reflower from an internode. I generally snip them right off at the base of the stem, let them rest a bit, you know, water them, be nice to them, cosset them a little bit because they've exhausted huge reserves of energy to put up this wonderful flower spike. Look after them a little bit, water them, you know, regularly. Don't let them get sit in water because we know very well that's what will make them rot off. Feed them and you should see another flower spike within a few months coming up.
Fingers crossed and good luck with that one. I am so unlucky when it comes to orchids. Not unlucky, just rubbish with them. Ben, we've got a question in from Ben. Ben says, we've got lots of edible plants like chilies in our greenhouse. I know they really like hot situations, but their leaves are burning in this hot spell. Would they be better outside? So actually kind of putting them outside to cool them off,
essentially. Yeah, well, short of getting shade sheeting, which are these kind of roly blinds you can put inside a greenhouse, which seems a bit daft if you've got your greenhouse in order to be hot, I would absolutely stick them outside. They're fine outside from May onwards, really. Really, I'd say as long as they're getting about 4 to 6 hours a day of sunshine, you can even put them in part shade and it will probably help them to recover from the burnt leaves as well. Keep them well watered. I mean, I'm sure you already are, Ben. If they're in a greenhouse, you're watering regularly. Keep them well watered and you should be rewarded with a good chili crop quite soon. The other advantage with putting them outside is you're more likely to get pollinators outside than inside a greenhouse. So you're more likely to get chilies.
Excellent. Thank you for all your questions. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be taking a look at some events coming up to get yourself out and inspired. That would be a good answer to our question, by the way, which is what gets you out in the sunshine? Anything that gets you out in the sunshine, send it in studio@worldradio.ch or 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS. You'll go into the draw for our prize from Shillinger Garden Centre today, a very stylish watering can and also a voucher for their cafe. So just let me know what gets you out outside in the sunshine.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Keep those answers coming in. Tell me what you get up to outside. That's what we're asking. We're talking about moving your plants from indoors to outdoors. So what gets you out in the sunshine? What activities do you like doing in the sun? You're going to the draw for our prize from Shillinger Garden Centre today. A very beautiful fancy watering can and a voucher for their cafe that you and a friend can go over and have tea for two. Love it. So 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS if you want to send that in. And thanks for the messages coming in so far. Hester, you've got some events, though, to tell us a little bit about if we want some inspiration in the garden.
Yes, there's lots of nice things going on. I'm going to start with the Botanica event. Now, this is across all Swiss botanical gardens, of which there are dozens and dozens of them. It started on the 10th of June, goes right through to the 9th of July. This used to be a week. Used to be called Botanica Week. I think that's longer than a week, the 10th of June to the 9th of July.
Sounds like it.
And this year's theme is Plants for the Future. There are loads of special tours, events and more at all of the botanical gardens in Switzerland. Locally, the Alpine Garden in Mira has a guided tour to the Marsh in Matignon, if you know where that is, on the 25th of June. And on the same day, the Lausanne Botanical Garden have an outing starting in La Sarraz. And you can also expect guided tours at the two big mountain-based Alpine Gardens, La Tomassière and Bourg-Saint-Pierre, and the one in Champailhac. Head to the website for full details. And that's botanica-suisse.org.
Nice.
And there's
okay.
loads on there. You'll definitely find something on a day you want to go out on a topic you're interested in.
Over the dates of, well, starting from the 10th of June, so it's already begun, actually, over the next 3 weeks or so. Also, looking at roses.
Yeah, it's June, so the roses are in bloom and in neon at the Concours International de la Rose Nouvelle. We've talked about this before. This is an international rose trial that's held in neon. It's one of many, many that go on right across the world in all of the hemispheres, both the hemispheres, and on every continent, I think. And the objective for the breeders is to see how their roses perform across lots of different latitudes. So if it does really well at the one in, you know, Norway and the one here, then it's probably going to be a good Northern European one. If it also does well in Barcelona and Rome, then that's a whole load of other places that rose might do well in. And it's really very exciting because these are roses that are not yet on the market. Most of them don't have names. They've got funny names like NP11.
Such a lovely, glamorous name for a rose.
And if it wins in Neon, at Wimbledon, lots of other places, that it may then get a proper breeder name from the breeders if it wins. And the open days are on this coming Friday the 23rd from 4 till 7 and Saturday the 24th from 10 till 2. There'll be experts on hand to answer all of your questions, not just about roses, but about other things as well. There will also be a guided tour every month with me in English and in French on the last Friday of the month. So that means that the first one's on the 30th, part by the Tennis Club in Neon. And if you're interested, you can always message me via the show if you want to know what we're actually going to be doing, or secretariat@rosenouvelle.neon.ch to sign up. It's free. And the next one's on the 30th of June.
Thanks so much. If you want any of that info again, head to worldradio.ch/digit. You'll be able to listen to this as a podcast as well. Hester, once again, thank you so much. We're taking a little break over the summer. We'll be back with you end of August.
Lovely.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.